For many business leaders, conflict feels like a topic best left to human resources. Yet unresolved conflict has real bottom-line impact. Loss in revenue, legal costs, drop in productivity, decreased motivation, and turnover. That's why we've created the Beauty of Conflict Journey, an online interactive learning experience to help you, your team, and your entire organization learn to embrace conflict in new and healthy ways. Find out more at www.thriving.com/BOC-journey. And we'll put that link in the show notes.
Hello, this is Susan Clark. Today will be part one of a two-part series, which is a recording of our HR hotspot with Tara Staffing. We wanted to share this with you, and it was a little longer, so we decided to divide it into two parts. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to The Hotspot, presented by Tara Staffing Group. This month, our topic is the beauty of conflict. Harness your team's competitive advantage. My name is Anne Medaglia, and I'm Tara Staffing Group's Executive Vice President. I'll be your host and moderator today. In a moment, I'll introduce our presenters, Chris Marie Campbell and Susan Clark. Second of all, the session has been approved by both SHRM and HRCI for recertification credits. We'll share that info at the end. There'll be a slide with the details for that. And today is a live broadcast. It is going to be recorded. So after the end of today, we'll send out the slides and a recording of the webcast. So at this time, I'd like to introduce our speakers, Chris Marie Campbell and Susan Clark. They are the co-founders of Thrive, Inc., Chris Marie Campbell, MBA and Olympic rower, and Susan Clark, MA relationship and Equus coach, are the authors of The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage, and The Beauty of Conflict for Couples. They also have a podcast with the same name, The Beauty of Conflict, and you can see on our screen, it's right there, for dealing with conflict at work and home. They've spent over 20 years helping individuals, leaders, and teams resolve difficult conflicts and create strong, thriving relationships, as well as profitable business results. They have given presentations on conflict resolution, teamwork, stress, and inclusion at Fortune 100 companies like Johnson & Johnson, Microsoft, AT&T, and Nationwide, as well as at organizations such as Gates Foundation, University of Washington Medical Center, San Francisco Giants, and many others. Their work and expertise have been featured in notable outlets like The Today Show, NBC, and Shape, the CEO Magazine, and Corporate Board Member. They live and work in Northwest Montana. So I'd like to turn it over to our presenters. Thank you, Chris Marie and Susan.
Thank you, Anne.
Yes.
We're excited to be here. We have a long history with Tara Staffing, which we just love. So thanks for having us. And I'm Chris Marie.
I'm Susan.
And we'll just jump right in because we know we have a lot to cover. And we call it beauty, not joy, fun, or ease of conflict, because most people don't like conflict, weren't trained in it, and didn't have good role models. And that's including me. I didn't.
Well, I think it's including us all. I really have yet to meet somebody who truly had great experiences with conflict when they were growing up.
Yes.
Really like it. So if you're out there thinking, I love conflict.
But we do think it's inevitable and healthy, and learning to work with it is key, rather than trying to diffuse it all the time, because you're going to minimize what you can get out of the people that are around you. So first, we want to ask you a question. This is where we'd love you to type it in the chat. What words come up when you think of conflict? Mm-hmm. And they may not be attractive words. They may be uncomfortable, but just put in the first thing that comes to mind when you think of conflict. There's no wrong answer here. We'd love to hear.
All right. We got some coming in. Disagreement, tension.
Tension.
This. There you go.
Wow. Okay.
Objection, avoidance.
Disruption, angry. Yeah.
Okay.
Keep them coming.
Objection, loud. Yep.
So it's a pretty charged experience. And many of us have conflict velcroed with violence, that fist piece, or being squashed, or just
bad. That's another. Yeah, I think classically people think this is not a good thing.
Right. So no wonder we work to avoid, manage, and diffuse it. But that also isn't necessarily, we're going to hopefully convince you it's not the best strategy.
Well, and also we want to be clear. There's a lot out there these days. Even when we wrote our book, I remember Harvard Business Review had this thing coming out about you have to diffuse conflict. And I right away was like, oh, that's the opposite of what we're saying. Because we actually, I don't think you can train to make it better. You actually have to be willing to learn to tolerate that discomfort and know that it is actually healthy, natural, and normal. And that's probably the biggest piece. And we're going to talk a lot about that today.
And we're also talking in the context of a team a lot, because that's often where conflict comes up, in a team meeting with your teammates.
Be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly what we're saying. So why do we think it's important for you to deal with it? Because there's a huge cost of unaddressed conflict.
And that goes from everything from people often will leave an organization because they're so uncomfortable with the tension that's going unaddressed, to actual bottom line costs to the company. Like a lot of times we've asked people, we had one leader tell us, because we came in to work with his team and he was a little hesitant. He didn't like the touchy-feely stuff. He was like,
that's what he thought it was, yeah. Touchy-feely.
He's like, I do want to ask you though, does anyone really feel warm and fuzzy when they're in conflict? Probably not. But I think a lot of people call this touchy-feely stuff. But later we said, no, we'll come in, but we have to do some, we're not just going to solve work on this one issue for you. Because they were having trouble rolling out a whole new network change that they were making. And we said, before we do that, we're going to work on some of your team dynamics. And he agreed. And we went in. And right away, it was very clear that a huge part of the problem was a breakdown that had occurred between two of the 12 leaders that were there. And everyone else saw them as the problem. And they were actually doing a big work around the problem to avoid those two teams ever being together. So we were like, we took 20 minutes and rehashed what had happened 6 months prior to any of these rollouts. And they agreed, it wasn't fixed right then, but they agreed to commit to, oh, we have to resolve this. And they also recognized it wasn't just their problem. The whole team knew about it. And in the end, the leader wrote us back and said, you know, this, I got to tell you, if anyone is ever like me and gives you a hard time about the bottom line costs, just remind them that, because it cost us, without anything else being included, $750,000 in terms of expenses because they were trying to avoid conflict. And so that's a pretty hefty hit on the bottom line. And so whether it's just the human experience of how uncomfortable it is or the actual physical cost to it, when conflict goes unaddressed, there is a definite cost.
And it's not like you're not dealing with it all the time. Research shows that employees deal with conflict 2.8 hours a week. And that's increasing. It used to be 2.1 the last time we dug in for research. So there's a lot of time spent, but we have conflict incompetence based on what we've learned and trying to get rid of it versus learning to use the differences. So conflict comes up on teams, and just think about any dysfunctional team you've been on. If we're in a big group, we say, how many have been on a dysfunctional team? How many of you have been on a high-performing team? And think about those types of teams you've been on, how you've shown up, how you felt, because we all know that sense of when it's like, it's just not okay versus, hey, I can show up and say what I really think, even if I have a different opinion. And we want you to, this would be a poll. We're launching a poll, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, there we go. So we want you to choose one of these as your main issue with conflict. Many of these may apply to you. But is your issue speaking up and disagreeing, starting the conversation, concern about hurting feelings, facing a strong negative reaction, managing your own stress, or framing your message so it can be heard, or something else, I think. Oh, but we just gave you those. Okay. Starting the conversation.
Dealing with others angering. It's on there.
Oh, dealing with others arguing.
Arguing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to give you a little bit more. Anybody else want to respond? It looks like framing my message to be heard so it can be heard is a top runner, but also facing a strong negative reaction.
It's coming in with a few more there.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for participating. We're going to actually we talk about all these different pieces. So I think I'm going to go ahead and end the poll for now. Thanks for playing.
And Chris, we've got a comment that says, what happens if you feel all of them?
Yeah, you're not alone. That's what I want to tell you. You're not alone.
Let's just see what the things come up as. So it does sound like framing my message so it can be heard and facing a strong negative reaction are probably the two biggest.
Yeah.
And some people are having a hard time picking. So maybe more than one.
Okay.
And feel free if you want to add your other, you could put that in the comments, in the chat. Because I do, sometimes somebody has something totally different.
We do think it is a multivariable problem to resolve or to work with when you're dealing with conflict, because you're dealing with the unknown.
I also think, and I speak to this because we're talking to primarily HR people, one of the biggest challenges too, I mean, I know this is true as a coach too, sometimes it's like, or as a consultant, you may in your role be hearing things and it's, you know that the conflict is there, but you also have this, you're not supposed to be the one who
delivers the message.
can tell somebody you need to go talk directly. You can support them. But that also is can be a very undermining thing to the conflict. It's very tricky to navigate that ground. When do I use my role to avoid having a crucial conversation that I probably need to have or pull the people together anyway? It is tricky. It's not an easy, this is exactly how it works type of thing.
So we're going to, so just a little bit, you've heard about my background, but one of the things that actually has framed this experience of dealing with conflict is I was a manager and I was in a meeting and I was 10 years into my career and I thought, hey, I'm doing really well. I was in a meeting with my boss and my boss's boss. And lo and behold, my boss turned around and blamed me for a project failing. And I went into that freeze response that somebody just talked about. And I was melting inside. I couldn't find my voice. And I didn't agree with the strategy we used 6 months earlier, but I couldn't speak up. So I followed his strategy. Then we failed. Then I get blamed for it. So it's like, oh my gosh. I decided right then and there, I got to figure out how to find my voice because this is too uncomfortable. And I was trained not to speak up because I had an Army colonel dad that was very dominant. You couldn't disagree with the colonel. So it's been learning to actually take back my power and find my voice, not in a way to squash somebody else, but to exist in those situations.
So for me, I kind of came into appreciating conflict a little differently. A big part of it was in my early 20s, I had a health crisis. And I, at one point in time, was told you have 6 months to live. And the medical model didn't have any solutions. And so I started to engage other people, the non-traditional medical people, spirituality, psychology, but none of them liked each other and they didn't really appreciate each other, nor did they want to talk to each other. And I was like, hey, this is Project Susan. You guys have to talk to each other. And so I got really used to conflict because they really had strong opinions. And I was constantly listening to, you can't do that. You have to do whatever it was and navigating that. And I also discovered that there was a whole lot of history in my health from my own childhood and stuff that I had never dealt with. And as I started to work with it, it created huge conflict in my family and various places. But I also started to get healthy. So even though I was not really loving the fractures that were occurring in my life, I did realize that I, as a result of turning towards it and facing it and going into it, was actually getting healthier. So I really became a believer that sometimes surfacing conflict is critical to health, well-being, aside from just a good business practice in my mind. So,
okay. So we do this in the context of a team, because in a team, you want to develop relationships that can hold that these uncomfortable conversations more. And we create teams because we think, hey, I'm going to gather some smart people who are passionate. We're going to change the world focusing on this big goal. And what really happens is these smart people who are passionate have very different opinions and they're very attached to their opinions. So they have strong emotions and we get into this right, wrong, and boom, we land in the middle of conflict. And we don't really have a lot of skill, like we've been saying, on how to deal with that situation. So we tend to opt out. And this is where I can't deal with you directly. So I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to go to HR and talk about you. I'm going to actually make you look bad. So you got gossips, politics, factions, people leave organizations. There's a lot of confusion because I don't want to say something directly to you. So I'm like the team that Susan was talking about.
Triangulation comes up to
us. Yes, triangulation. Such a toxic thing. But I grew up on triangulation. Am I not supposed to go talk to mom and then talk to dad and hope they, whatever? I just thought that was my role. It's very unhealthy. So we find there's three typical styles where people in that tension of conflict choose to, like, when this is too uncomfortable, they go into a reactive pattern, all to reduce the tension that's inside me and between me and you.
And just to be clear, we actually think that tension is the juice where really neat stuff can happen. But because we don't know how to tolerate it very well, that's where we tend to want to diffuse it or opt out. And these opt-out styles can go on for long periods of time if they don't get addressed. So, yeah.
So the first one is the superstar, and see which one, if any of these you relate to. So you're in the middle of a meeting, the team's going on, there's no clarity, and you're like, you know what to do. Because a superstar really values action and results. I'm just going to make it happen. You guys are going to thank me in the end. I might not even say anything. I leave the meeting. I go implement my strategy and I come back ready for my applause. But nobody's bought into my idea. I've just made it happen. And that's the superstar who, in that tension of conflict, thinks, one, that's not important. I know what to do and I'm going to make it happen. So they really value action and results.
They also have been independent contributors a lot of times where they've been rewarded for that. But that's not necessarily always the best thing for building relationships and team in an ongoing, sustainable, engaged workplace. So
the second one is the accommodator. And the accommodator really values harmony and relationships. And rather than focusing on what they think and feel and want, they focus on pleasing everybody else. This is somebody who, let's say this is the triangulator. If there's two people that are having a hard time, as an accommodator, I grew up as an, I'd go talk to one person. I'd be like, I really agree with you, Anne. That is true. Yeah, I don't know about Susan. Then I'd go to Susan. I'd say, I really agree with you, Susan. I don't know what it is about Anne. And in my effort to be liked and to really support these people, I'm really helping them stay entrenched in their own positions because I'm agreeing with them rather than saying, hey, Susan, I think you need to consider what Anne is saying. It's valuable. So accommodators tend to give in, and later they'll also, oh, I'll do it because they want the tension to go away, and they'll later resent it.
They like to be heroes too, but mainly heroes in terms of making everybody happy and doing all the work. So it's not necessarily a healthy hero either.
Yeah, none of these
are in and of themselves. And then finally, there's the separator. And the separator really prefers things to be clear and calm. And so when things aren't, they will focus on something else, another problem in the business, or sort of disengage, like they'll open their computer and start doing something else. Like, when these two people get over it, then I'll re-engage. But they don't act as part of the team, or that they're actually may be able to contribute, and they separate. Now, one thing to know about these three types is that they can be superpowers, but they don't necessarily take into account the relational qualities that need to be built to build strong teams or an engaged, healthy organization.
So we're going to do a poll, see if you, which one you tend to relate to. And I think hopefully we're activating that poll at some point. Good. Thank you.
Oh, here it comes. Great.
So it may be hard to choose, but see if you can figure out which one you tend to go towards. And I have done all of them, but I definitely my go-to accommodate. Looks like we've got some people who agree with me.
Not all of them, though.
We've got one more comment. Do you want me to read that to you guys?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It says, you have drama makers due to the new employee base that we get. How to deal with these individuals besides telling them the company policy? I agree with the other person to remove them. They do nothing but cause trouble. And the whole time they work here, and you can tell them the company policy all you want, they won't change. Then they have legal threats.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Mm. There's a lot.
I'm going to talk later about this idea because it's so easy to their drama makers. And we definitely see that there's people that can be drama makers for sure. And sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to sort of find a way to engage that person and ask, and we're going to talk later about this, but we find this to be the magic question. Why is this so important to you? Like, why is it so important that this drama be here? Because it seems like it's feeding something for you, and I don't know what it is. And sometimes that can actually help without making them wrong, just like you keep making this point. And I don't know that I don't want to keep quoting the policy. Obviously, that's not working, but so something about this is important. And we'll talk more about that later. So,
yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah. And it looks like the winner is the accommodator in the audience, at least.
Hey, but we have the separator came in second. Very
yes.
Good. Is that the case?
Awesome. Okay. And the idea is what we hope you start to do is notice when you go to these styles and they minimize the potential energy of the team, which we're going to talk about. So you're taking care of your own tension in that moment. Because we do think conflict, that energy, that clashing, those different ideas, the discomfort is potential energy. It's potential juice if you know how to do it. The opt-out styles diffuse it, so you can't actually use it to redirect that energy to something effective. when you can redirect it and learn to respond, that's when you get more engagement. People feel like they're adding value, they belong and matter. At the team level, the team IQ increases and trust increases. And in the end, you get better business results, innovative, creative solutions.
The irony that's out there right now is I think a lot of times people attribute belonging and mattering to feeling good. But actually, a lot of times when people really feel like they belong is when they feel like they can show up even in a difference, even in a really difficult situation, and still be able to say their piece and not and contribute. And that's actually another form of belonging that kind of gets lost. I hope you enjoyed part one of this HR hotspot. We'll be back for part two next week, leaning into conflict.
Are you a business leader who is tired of dealing with your organization's missed deadlines, politics, or a culture of complaining and blaming? The root cause of your pain is unaddressed, unresolved conflict. And did you know that 60% of employees never received basic conflict training at work? Of those that did, 95% stated it made a positive impact on how they address conflict.
Check out our Beauty of Conflict Journey, an online interactive learning experience that drives behavioral change through your entire organization. For more information, go to www.thriving.com/BOC-journey. And we'll put that link in the show notes.